By the way, let's go ahead and turn to the book of Philippians, chapter 1. This is going to be more of a jumping off point today. I'm going to do a subject, one that I haven't done in quite some time. I've mentioned it in the past, and I've done a couple sermons on it. It's been so long, I felt a need to deal with it again. Book of Philippians and chapter 1, and we're going to look at the verse 20 and the verse 21. I'm going to preach today on the subject of suicide. There's a epidemic of that, beloved, in our land. I'll give you some of the stats for it here in the beginning. Remember, stats are stats, but it's overwhelming at the number of that. There's more Americans that die from suicide than that dies from homicide. Did y'all realize that? About 6,000 a year die from homicide. About 32,000 a year die from suicide. Think about that. Let those stats seep. Now, that's about the same stats the last time that I looked at it. That's about the same number that was back when I done this message some years ago. It's a tremendous problem. Now, something you might not have known, I've got a rate, number, and ranking of suicide for each state in our union. And West Virginia is number 10. Did y'all realize, as low as our population is in West Virginia, there's 362 deaths by suicides in West Virginia every year. That's a frightening thing, don't you think? I mean, here just a small little state that we have, and to be number 10 out of 50, that's a pretty alarming thing. I'm going to give you seven facts. I'm just warming up, really. I'm just trying to give you some things to think about because it's a problem. I figure everybody knows somebody here today that has committed suicide. I've done several suicide funeral services, and they are a hard and a rough thing to do. They really, as far as being a pastor and as far as preaching a message, those are very, very tough. Well, seven facts about suicide. Every 2 hours and 11 minutes, this is about young people, every 2 hours and 11 minutes, a person under the age of 25 completes a suicide. 24% of high school students have seriously thought about attempting suicide. Suicide is the third leading cause of death for 15 through 24-year-olds. Did y'all realize that? The third leading cause of death for 15 through 24-year age group, that's the third leading cause of death, and it's the sixth leading cause of death for 5 through 15-year-olds. A lot of young people kill themselves. A lot of young people kill themselves. More teenagers and young adults died as a result of suicide in 1999 than cancer, heart disease, HIV, AIDS, birth defects, stroke, chronic lung disease combined. These are all things that are horrible when you read about it, but actually there's more teenagers die from suicide from any of these kinds of diseases. For every older teen, a young adult who takes their own life, 100 of 200 of their peers will attempt suicide. 15.8% of high school students reported that they seriously considered attempting suicide. 12.8% reported creating a plan, and 7.8% have attempted suicide one or more times. Suicide among males is four times higher than among females. Most people think it's women that are the most that does that, but actually it is by far more men do. Suicide among males is four times higher than among females. However, females are more likely than the males to have suicidal thoughts. Well, that's what we're going to be preaching on today in our message. It needs to be preached on. There's an increase of it. I've seen an increase of it, and it just in the services that I've done over the years, there has been an increase of that with regard to people. Suicide snuffs out a life and snuffs out a light, doesn't it? We want to do everything we can to stop this thing from happening. Many times people that do so don't talk about it, but many cases they do talk about it. And you should take that very seriously whenever someone says so, because a lot of people A lot of people do. My message title, now that I've given you all those stats, my message title today, Why I Would Not Commit Suicide. Why I Would Not Commit Suicide. Okay? Let me give you just one more stat here. It says, I wrote this down. I gave you 32,000 a year, 16,000 a year die from homicide. 89 people every day die from suicide. 89 people every day die from suicide. One every 16 seconds. One every 16 seconds. So the stats are alarming. Why would I not commit suicide? That's going to be the message title today. Philippians chapter 1, let's look at verse 20. It says, according to my expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always now, Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is a what? It's a gain for a child of God, isn't it? To die is a gain. Well, the first reason why I would not commit suicide is it wouldn't glorify God in my death. I want to glorify God two ways. I want to bring glory to God with my life. I want to bring glory to God with my life. But I also want to bring glory to God by my death. I don't only want to live good. I want you to hear me now. I just don't want to live good and bring glory to the Lord. I want to die good too. I want to die good. I want my death to bring glory and honor and praise to the Lord. Can you imagine if, and I hope this never happens, but could you imagine next week or month later, I would have committed suicide? Could you imagine hearing about your preacher committing suicide? Could you imagine? I mean, you think about, would that bring glory to God, or what would that do? What would that do if I did that? I mean, that would throw the whole church in a turmoil, wouldn't it? Oh, my, the preacher committed suicide. Think about it. And there's a lot of preachers that have. I know preachers that have. Just got so overwhelmed and so wrapped up. But it's just not a good way to go. You want to glorify God in your death. Suicide doesn't do that. Suicide doesn't do that. Simon Peter was told in the Gospel of John chapter 21. I want you to turn to this. I want to try to do this in a reasonable amount of time, in a simple way. Really, I do. John 21. And I want you to notice verse 18. Simon Peter was told how he was going to die, basically. I don't think I'd want to be told how I was going to die, would you? But Simon Peter was told by Jesus that one of these days he was going to be crucified. He was going to be crucified. This is a text where he asked Simon Peter, do you love me more than these? Remember, asking three times, do you love me more than these? Do you love? Then he said, feed my sheep. He was a pastor. He said, verse 18, verily I say unto you, when you were young, you girded yourself and you walked whether you would. But when you're old, this is the prophecy concerning his death, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee, whether thou wouldest not. Now, that's most think verse 18, the stretching out of the hands, is a reference to crucifixion. So he's telling him one of these days he would die martyr's death is what he's telling him. But notice what he said about this death in verse 19. This spake he, signifying by what death he would what? He would glorify God. By what death he would glorify God. Well, Peter didn't just only want to glorify God in his life, but he wanted to do that in his death, and he died by a martyr's death. He did. And that was a glory, and he considered it a glory. Apostle Paul said, to live is Christ, but to die is a what? A gain when you're born again. It's a gain when you're born again. So we want to glorify God in our life. And I've seen some great events in people's lives whenever they've died. And they just brought so much glory to God. I could go through so many people that I've been with when they've passed, but Linda Scantlin always sticks out in my mind when I talk about someone's past. And she had that cancer so bad. She had that so bad. And her feet was just, the fluid was just everywhere. And it was just such a trying time. All the family was around and all the family was there. And she had had it. And she is so weak, she couldn't hardly talk. And I've never seen, you talk about glorifying God in your death. I've never seen anything. It chilled me so much I didn't know what to say. I was stunned. Have you ever been stunned? Have you ever seen an event that you knew wasn't possible? And you've seen it happen, and there only could be one person done, it would be the Lord. Well, she was that weak. She was ready to go. And, buddy, she liked Debbie better than me. I never did understand that. But she reached over for Debbie. And she got a hold of both of her hands, and she pulled her down in her face so she could hear. So that's how she couldn't talk very good. And she said, "Tired. Home. Glory." And, buddy, she leaned her head back and smiled. It was the prettiest smile you ever seen in your life. That's what she did. She smiled, and I thought, well, that's an amazing sight. But what was more amazing, and she reared her head back and sang Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch. Sung two stanzas of Amazing Grace, and she didn't have the wind to talk. Well, once she got done with that story, I figured that was bound to be it. But she then followed that up by singing, "What a day that'll be when my Jesus I shall see. And I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his." She sung both verses of it. Sung it all. Didn't have strength to do so. Would y'all agree with me this morning? I say that what I say here is that glorified God. Glorified God in her death. I've seen a lot of people do that over the years. I want to glorify God in my life, but I also want to glorify God in my what? In my death. And that's what we're talking about today. Well, you say, why'd you say all that for? Because suicide doesn't glorify God in your death. Suicide doesn't do that. In many cases, it leaves doubt. People wonder. Man, it hurts. I mean, it's a devastating thing to do. You almost don't know what to say. You hear me? You just don't know what to say in situations like that. And I've done a lot of them over the years. So why would I not commit suicide? Because I don't think if I did that, that wouldn't glorify God in my death. That's one reason why I wouldn't. I want to glorify God in not only in the way I live, but I want to glorify him in my death too. And I think for me to do that wouldn't be a good way for me to go, especially with all the, think of all the kids that knows Pastor Jeff. Think of all the little ones that know. Well, you know, the pastor killed himself. See, that could lead to other people's doing the same thing. And that could be an influence over other people. For everyone to commit suicide, they have a sphere of friendship and family members that respect them, and it causes them to think about the same thing. If you ain't careful, you can pass that thing on to somebody else. I don't want to pass that on to nobody in my family. All God's people said. I don't want to pass that thing on to nobody in my family. No, sir. No, sir. I don't want any of the kids to. I don't want to set that kind of example for the kids that goes to this church. That'd be a horrible thing to do. Don't y'all agree? Be a horrible thing to do. Don't do it. Don't do it. People get tore up, beloved. People get so tore up sometimes they don't feel that they have any kind of way out. I'm going to tell you a little something. I want you to hear this. Don't ever make a decision when you're upset. Now, I'm going to say this, and this ain't going to sound respectful. You can do something really stupid when you're upset. I didn't know any other way to say it. Have you ever done anything stupid when you was upset? You men, have you ever took your fist and run it right into a wall because you was upset? But after you's done, you's like, oh, what did I do that for? Well, that wasn't very smart. You never thought that thing out. Yeah, you're going to hurt from that. You might break some. I seen men do some goofy things. I was with an old man one time, and they'd been working on their truck, working on it was a tandem truck. And every time this man would do work on his truck, he'd get mad, and he'd throw the wrench. And then he had a buddy with him. He said, the guy that worked with him, he said, go get that, will you? He'd always get that. One day they said they was up by the Kanawha River. They was working up there on a truck. And he hit his hand. Oh, you ever done it? He hit his hand. You know what he did? He drove back and throwed it out in the river, into Kanawha River. It was a wrench that just fit that particular part too. You know what his buddy said? You want me to go get that one? He really did. You want me to go get that one? Well, he done something silly. At that moment, he never thought his way through it. He never, but he just moved and done something that really wasn't very, very smart. You want to glorify God in your death. You want to die good. I don't want to just live good. I want to die good. I want to die good too. I got a statement here I want you to write down if you can. And if you can't, you can get the CD and write it down. Here's a statement to remember. First point was, don't glorify God in your death. That was my first point. A statement to remember. Suicide does not end the chances of life getting worse. Suicide does not end the chances of life getting worse. Suicide eliminates the possibility of it ever getting better. Suicide does not end the chances of life getting worse. Suicide eliminates the possibility of it ever getting better. I'm going to give you some promises to remember. Are you ready? I'm going to give you some promises to remember that goes with this message. One of the saddest verses in the Bible is Ephesians 2 and verse 12. It says, having no hope and without God in the world. Having no what? Having no hope and without God in the world. There are some young people that feel that they have no hope. They can't see their way clear to think straight. Many times people that get ready to commit suicide give you somewhat of a warning about it. Kind of lets you know. And in many cases, they're not taking what? And you all know people that weren't taken too seriously, and then they indeed did so. You always take it serious. You always take it to heart. Even if they've done it over and over again, that means they're thinking about it. For them to even say it means they're thinking about it. So you need to take it serious if they ever mention it. You need to watch after them. One word can make a difference. One phone call can make a difference. I don't think I can tell the story right, but I read about a boy one time. And he had been so bad, a young man, he had been so picked on at school by people, because he was bad picked on. And he was in the hall one day, and somebody came and they knocked his books out of his hand, and there's everybody just constantly picking. Well, there's a Christian boy there, and that boy went over and he helped pick his books up. And reason why he had his books out, stay with me, the reason why he had his books, he's taking all of his books home. Do you know why he took all of his books home? He was cleaning out his locker. And the reason why he was going home to kill himself. This one Christian boy went over and picked up his books, and he said, they're nuts, and walked home with him. And that act of kindness, he kind of took him under his wing there and befriended this outcast is what he did. And what happened is, as time grew, he was like a freshman, but when he got to be a senior, buddy, he was really different. He was different. He got to be popular with everybody, and he ended up being like the values, what do you call that? Number one in his class. Can't say that other boy. He ended up being number one in his class. Valedictorian, is that how you say it? He ended up being number one in his class, he did. And you know what he did? When he gave his speech, He talked about the one that saved his life. And it was that boy that befriended him when he was in ninth grade. Christian young people, befriend those people that don't have nobody that cares about them. Be kind to them. Help them. Some of the meanest people in the world can be young people. Do you hear what that sounds? Some of the coldest hearted people in the world can be young people. They get their own little cliques and they just pound on people, and that's not good. And if you're saved, you best not do it. One of the things, God's children should be different than the people of the world. Amen. Be kind and tender hearted to people. Means a lot. That's what Christianity means to the world. Oh. Does Christian people sometimes think about that? Sure they do. More do than you can remember, or more new than you think. They think about it. That's why I'm preaching on it this morning. They think about it. You know, Brother Elijah, he's one of my heroes in the Bible. You know, he went up, he got so discouraged and got so depressed that he climbed up underneath a juniper tree and wished to do what? Wanted to die. That's Elijah. He prayed and fire come down out of heaven. It's Elijah. Elijah got so depressed because things didn't turn out like he thought. Things didn't turn out like he thought. And when they didn't, then what happened is he just got so discouraged that he got up underneath his juniper. Now, he didn't kill himself, but he wished to die. And that's severe, that's severe depression. And if that could happen to Elijah, that can happen to you. You say, well, you've been talking about young people. A lot of old people suffer from severe depression. There's a good high suicide rate amongst them, too. It's a dangerous thing. I'm going to give you some promises to remember, and I'm going to try to quote them best I can so I can move. Now, this is true of every... I'm talking to saved people right now. If you're not saved, these are promises that belong to saved people. And if you're not saved, you need to get saved. That gives you good hope all the time, doesn't it? I got the good hope of glory. I got the good hope of seeing Jesus. I got the good hope of seeing my loved ones again one day. Hey, we got good hope because of God's grace, don't we? Amen. We got all kinds of reasons in the world to live. You just got to search them out in the Scripture. Mind, there's a lot of good reasons to live. Romans 8:28. Here's some things to remember, promises to remember if you're saved. Number one. It gives you a promise for hope. Romans 8:28 says, for we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now, is that true or not? Now, it's all things, or just some things? It's all things. I believe that promise all my heart, and when I run into something, brother, that I don't understand, I throw it under that. Lord, I don't understand this thing. I don't like this thing. But I know that all things work together for the good. And until I got it figured out, or if I never do, I'm going to trust that some way it's going to work together for my good and God's glory. All God's people said. Throw it under Romans 8:28. Here's what we call it. Throw that under God's sovereignty. That's what we call it. Number two. That's promise number one, promise number two. Philippians 4:13, for we know, for I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Is that true or not? Is it true or not? He can give you the strength to hold up. He can give you the strength to endure. He can give you the strength to go ahead. Don't tell me I can't. You can with God's strength. All God's people say it. You can. You can. You can. Isaiah 41:10 is a promise for fearlessness. Philippians 4:13 is a promise for strength. Isaiah 41:10 says, fear thou not, I'll be with thee. Be not dismayed, I am thy God. I'll help thee, I'll strengthen thee, and I'll uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. It's a promise for fearlessness. I feel pretty brave when I know that God is with me. I never faced anything by myself. Hey, do y'all realize it? I don't ever go anything alone. Anything I face, I got my God with me. Amen. I'm never by myself. Even if I would be dying alone, God's people never die alone. Amen. God's with them. whatever you, you know, I don't like getting surgeries, do you? I've got, you know, you start getting surgeries when you get older. And one of the most lonely things in the world is they'll run you up that big silver door up there. I don't know why. I wish they'd decorate the door with a wreath or something, but they bring, it looks like a tomb. Bring you that big door. Well, y'all kiss him now, or not none of the deacons now, but I mean, your wife will be there, and they'll go, you kiss him now, and we're going to take him back. Hey, that's the loneliest feeling in the world, you know. And then and on top of everything else, the people around y'all got masks on. Think about it. Yeah, every one of them got a mask on, so you're already nervous thinking you're going to get robbed when you're going back there, you know. It's a scary thing. Don't y'all agree it's a lonely feeling? Here's all your loved ones out there, and there you go wheeling back through there. God's with you when you go back there. God's with you when you go back through there. You ain't by yourself. Same God that was willing when they wheeled you in will be the same God with you when you wheel you out. Same one. That's a great thing. He's great promises, ain't he? Your memory's promises will keep you from doing something you shouldn't do. You got a promise for strength. You got a promise for fearlessness. You got a promise for burdens. 1 Peter 5:7. We're to cast all of our care upon him, for he cares for us. Two words for care. God cares for us. Casting all care on him, that's burdensome care. And then he cares for us, that's loving care. Y'all believe he can carry your burden? Now, most of you know that you should give your burdens to the Lord, but most of you don't. We just tell God about it when we go in prayer and we go away. Have you ever done it? Went to prayer, burdened, come away from prayer just as burdened as when you went. You got to give it to him. You got to let go of it. Now, that takes a little bit of practice, but sometimes what I do, if it comes back to mind, I say, God's got it. There ain't no sense in me thinking on this thing, and I just change subjects. What you got to do? He's give you promises to remember. Number four, if you're unsaved and you kill yourself, you went from bad to worse. It's difficult to do a suicide when someone, it's always difficult to do a suicide service, but when the person never trusted Jesus, as far as you know, that's the most difficult thing in the world. That's why I say, they go from bad to what? Bad to worse. Luke chapter 16, there's a rich man and Lazarus. And in graphic detail, it describes what happened to the rich man. He didn't die. He didn't go to hell because he was rich. There's rich people in the Bible that were saved. But when he died, he went from bad to worse. It didn't get better when he died. He got worse. And when someone that's lost commits suicide, that doesn't make their situation better. It makes it worse. Now, beloved, as much as I believe in heaven, I believe in hell just as much too. And for a lost person to do this particular thing, it's a horrible thing. I met a woman one time and I visited a woman. I've never seen it. Now, to this day, I've never seen anything like her. And they sent me to visit her because she was dying. And she had had a son that she loved, and that son had died. And when that son died, you know what happened? She got so bitter against the Lord that she wanted to go to hell because she is sure that he went there. Have you ever met anybody that way? I've met a couple that way. Wanted to go to hell because sure that boy was there. I went in and she shut her eyes. As soon as I walked in the door, she shut her eyes. She didn't want me there. I know she didn't want me there. I went because the family sent me, but I didn't have a door there. So I tried and I prayed over her. And she had her eyes like this. Just not normal shut. She was holding them shut. She didn't want to fool with me. So I prayed a salvation prayer and how I preached a sermon in prayer is what I basically did and left it there. There's no hope once a person dies without Jesus. Did you hear what I said? There's no hope. Everybody don't go to heaven when they die, just those who trust Jesus. Everybody agree? Only those who trust Jesus. You'll put yourself right there. I think that's why I think Satan's behind it so much. Because, brother, if he can get them to do that, there's no hope whatsoever. Number five, it's devastating to those who love you. When someone commits suicide, it's devastating to those who love you and to those who are your friends. Y'all agree? Y'all ever had a friend do it? It's devastating, isn't it? Isn't it horrible? The service is even different. Service is even different. It's a horrible thing. I've talked to a lot of people, a lot of suicidal people. I talked to one that especially hurt, and they'd come to my house and just in horrible shape. But they've done that all their days. They come to my house. They'd done it all their days. They come to my house when they were in horrible shape. And I wanted them to come to my house. They knew they had an open door there. I wanted them to come, you know. And it was bad. Bad. I didn't know what to do. I just felt so helpless. The only thing I know to do was pray. And what I did is I took my hands. I don't even know what I did. I took my hands and I went over and I laid my hands on him and I prayed to him. I prayed and prayed and prayed over this particular person. Prayed. And then sat with him for a while and then it just kind of went down. You see, everything just kind of eased up and thought everything was okay. Next day was fine. And then the next day, they did what they planned to do. Well, I grieved over Adolf. Does anybody know why? Didn't think I'd done enough. I could have done more. I'm just telling you this because I want to tell you what God done for me. And I was grieving over this thing. I was hurting over it bad because I didn't, you know. And I got done doing the service, and this old woman, I didn't know her from Adam. I just kind of got done. I kind of stepped over here to the side, and here she come. And she said, Jeff. She called me by name. She said, Jeff, when this person left your house, he came to my house. And Jeff, he was better. I think, oh, thank you, Jesus. I needed to hear that so bad. He was better. He was happier. He done forgot about doing that. And then the next day, something happened that pushed him over the edge, and he did. But I thought, God knew. I was grieving so hard over that, and he sent that old woman up there to tell me that. I'll never forget her. She looked like an angel to me when she left. Made me feel a lot better. Well, it devastates. Now, hear me. I want you to hear. It's devastating to loved ones and friends. Still bothers you. Still bothers you all your days. If you love your family and you love your friends, you won't do that to them. You won't do that to them. Almost done. If you're here today and saved, it cuts your service short here on earth, wouldn't it? I mean, we're in active duty as long as we're here. We don't want to take our time and throw it away. And that's not a good testimony. Would y'all agree at the very least? I'm not going to get off on what you think I'm going to get off on. But at the very least, it's not a good testimony to others. At the very least, it's not a good testimony to others. We want to set forth a good testimony to others, and that would be horrible. That'd be a horrible legacy to leave behind. Oh, did you not agree with that much of it? That'd be a horrible legacy to leave behind. Book of Ecclesiastes, I'm going to close with this. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Let's turn to that. I think I got the right verse. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. I planned on closing with this. You said, Pastor, why are you preaching on such a gloomy subject? Because I see a lot of it. You see a lot of it. And it's getting worse. I don't want you to do that. I don't want our young people to do that. I don't want our old people to do that either. Talk to somebody that loves you before you do something that's crazy. Ecclesiastes 4 and verse 9. Now, I want you to underline these verses in your Bible. Verse 9 and 10. Two are better than one. Two are better than one. Because they have good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falls. For he hath not another to help him up. Y'all underline that verse. You need to remember that. Sometimes people need somebody. We want to be that somebody for you if you ever need it. We won't tell anybody ever come, really. We'll talk to you and seek to get you help. 10th out of 50 states, West Virginia's number 10. That's a pretty big deal. Everybody knows someone that has done this too. It's a horrible, horrible thing. Two are better than one, for they have good reward for the labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falls, and he hath no one to help him up. All God's people say it. Let's all stand. Thank you.